Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson. And today's show is on music production or just using sounds or playing sounds that actually calm or activate, or playing music that calms or activates, or doing a sound healing treatment with your voice or with instruments that calm or activate. Our intention is that you may find the music you need for each moment. I think that's one reason that a lot of people don't, I know so many people that don't even listen to music anymore. And I think a lot of the reason is because they don't know how to choose the right music for the right moment. You know, because you can use music for therapy or for anything you want as long as it's the right type of music, and they don't really know how to choose. And so this is about finding the right music for you at the right moment, or creating music productions, or doing sound healing treatments with the right sounds. So that's our intention. First of all, let me tell you about what's happening at the Institute. A lot of things just finished. We just had the Sound of Love concert. Oh, my God. We took everybody into a state of pure bliss, and then we were at the end, after we finished singing Pachelbel Canon, everybody didn't move for like 10, 15 minutes, and they weren't asleep either. And so we also just graduated a class. It was an amazing class. We had about 15, 16 students and in that class, and we just started a new online class today. You can still jump in if you want, and that's on Tuesday and Thursday nights and Saturday mornings. Really nice class. We've still got one woman from Latvia, got a guy from Colombia, people from all over the world, including the United States, are taking the class, and it's with live instructors. We also have, starting on May 17th, we've got, I think it's May 17th, it might be the 24th. No, it's May 24th. May 24th, we're starting the new semester at the Institute for Sound Healing and Therapy, the certificate program for sound healing and therapy, or the degree program if you wanted to start, because the certificate program is the first semester. Then we have the summer intensive. That's a 3.5-month program. The summer intensive is 2 weeks in June 13th to the 26th. So you can fly out and just stay for 2 weeks, and we go day and night, so you can get a lot of experience and information in a very short time. And then we've got the sound healing music production class starting on May 17th, and then the sound healing and music production online class starting this week or next week. Actually, it depends on the student. So if you're interested, give us a call and we'll figure out a time that works for you. So those are the main things happening. We still have meetup groups happening. This Sunday, not tomorrow, but a week from Sunday, April 25th, we have our open house, and that's like 5 or 6 hours of experiences and lectures and demonstrations and vibration and vibration and vibration. So if you can make it out, or if you're in the area, come on over. Of course, that's free. And then just about every Friday or Sunday, we have a meetup group, which is just $5. We had one last night with Evelie, one of our instructors, and it was really sweet. We did a lot of kirtan, singing, call and response. Okay, so that's what's happening at the Institute. So let's talk about different sounds and different music and different timbres, all the different components in a musical production that you can use to either activate or calm. Yeah, I'm breaking it down pretty simply to be activating or calming, because that's like the most basic aspect of any music. Do you want it to be activating and bringing you up, getting you excited, or also activating? The other aspect of activating is breaking up stuck energy. So it's not just activating, it's also breaking up stuck energy, which is activation in another way. And then there's the other aspect is calming. Although, you know, a lot of people think that sound healing music is basically calming. I mean, that's the definition of sound healing music, and that's not true at all. You know, if you play calm music or calm sounds or calm musical components to someone who's depressed, you're not really gonna get very far at all. I mean, you know, they're not gonna get out of bed ever at all. You know, because you need something more activating, and I've got a song called Anti-Depression that is very activating. And so, you know, often you don't want something totally calming. Also, the other thing, if you use all of the calming components, and I'm going to go through about 20 different components here that are calming, if you use all of them together, sometimes, you know, it could be perfect for going to sleep, but otherwise it could be boring. It could really be boring. It could be really not interesting enough or not activating enough to keep your interest or to keep you really keep your attention. So often we want a combination of calming and activating. And it's really interesting to learn how much calming or how much activation you need. And I'm going to be playing some music so you can really, and we'll talk about the level of calming and activation in each one of these. Now, it's really quite a bit more complex though, because, you know, when we talk about calming or activating, you could really talk about calming or activating for each chakra. Is the music really activating your root chakra? Or is it calming it down? Often each chakra needs either activating or calming. Is, you know, is your heart chakra overactivated? Well, it's not the problem for most of us, I guess. And so, do you need calming? I mean, I know that often I need calming on my second chakra, the emotional, because I got emotional stuff going on. So I often need calming there, where I might need activation in my third eye or activation in my power chakra, although I'm normally doing fine in the power area or will area. Anyway, you get the idea. So you can look at music from this level. How is it affecting each chakra? And so that's a lot more detailed, and so we might get into that a little bit, but not a whole lot. Once again, what we're talking about is not just doing a music production here. It's about also, if you're going to choose a CD to put on, what you know, to really be able to gauge and get to know your music so you know precisely what to play for whenever you're feeling a certain way. Another aspect is when you're doing a sound healing treatment on somebody, whether you're using your voice on somebody or you're using natural instruments like crystal bowls or tuning forks or Tibetan bowls or any instrument on in a healing situation. Okay. So let's talk about the different aspects that are calming, aspects in music that are calming or activating. One of the most basic aspects is called the timbre or tone of the instrument. We often speak of it as the harmonic structure of the instrument. When you look at the harmonic structure, and we've had radio shows on this before, the harmonic structure of sound are the different frequencies that are in a sound that are mathematical multiples of a root frequency. Mathematical multiples mean 1 times, 2 times, 3 times, and so forth. So if I sing a note that is 80 hertz, which is an E, and I go, oh, there's not just 80 hertz there. There's also the second harmonic, which is 2 times 80, which is 160. There's the third harmonic, which is 3 times 80, which is 240, and then 320, and then 400, 480, 560, 640, and so forth. So we have all these harmonics, all these other frequencies that are there on top of the root note of E. And when we do overtone singing, we're actually boosting the volume of those harmonics. Let me demonstrate here. Okay. Each one of those notes that you're hearing, those higher pitches, are mathematical multiples of that root frequency. Now, what's interesting is if we look at the ones that are 3 times the root and 5 times the root and 7 times, all the odd numbered harmonics, we call them 3, 5, 7, 9 and so forth. So 3 times the root, 5 times, 7 times, so forth. And we have a sound that has just those odd harmonics in it. It's going to be a little irritating, a little edgy. We got our kitty cat going here with that sound. And she kind of jumped when I did that sound. Okay. So, so those sounds are very activating, obviously. And you may think you don't ever want those sounds, but that's not true. The sitar is really very much odd harmonics. It's a beautiful sound, but it's really activating. It's not the sound itself is not calming. You know, I mean, there's so many other components, so it could still be a calming music you're listening to, but compared to like the harp, the sitar is way more activating. And for some people, the sitar is really too much, because anybody that has a nervous system that is fragile cannot handle odd harmonics or too much activation, particularly odd harmonics. You know, sometimes you'll come across people, like my friend used to work with a woman who had a really, really edgy voice, and it made her nuts. It just made her nuts, you know. And so sometimes people have really odd harmonic-type voices. You know, Fran Drescher is a good example. But those sounds are really good for breaking up stuck energy and really activating. It's like I did, as I mentioned, I did the antidepressant CD, and we used a lot of activating timbres and tonalities. Now, the opposite of that are even harmonics. It just so happened that God has made it so that if you have only the even harmonics in a sound, and whether you're going to have odd or even harmonics is based on the structure or construction of the instrument. Reeds, any reed instrument like a clarinet or oboe or saxophone, they are mostly odd harmonic sounds. Whereas sounds that are really symmetrical in shape and have really soft parts to them are going to be more even harmonics, like the harp. It's got nylon strings versus steel strings. Okay, so even harmonics sounds, based on the construction of the instrument, are going to be warmer, much warmer. You know, some people have a really warm voice, and they're really aware of making their voice more warm. Also, even harmonics, if you're a singer and you use the vowel ooh, ooh, that's more even harmonics in the sound. You're shaping your mouth and your voice to really resonate the even harmonics in your voice. Whereas if you have the vowel e, it's more odd harmonics. The vowels go from even to odd like this. They go from oo, which is the most even, to o, to ah, which is half even and half odd, ah, and then eh, and then e. So it's oo-ai, so you can look at, if you're not using words, you know, it's really important to pay attention to what sounds, what vowels you're singing when you're working with someone, or when you're if you're a singer, you can try and avoid words that have a lot of E's in them, you know, if you're writing a song, or if you're just doing work on someone and you're really trying to calm them, you might, you know, use more oohs than E's. Whereas if you're trying to break up some stuck emotion that, you know, someone's stuck in, ease may be the deal. They very likely might be the deal. Okay? So this is cool, and it's really interesting to listen to the music that you listen to. Listen as to how many odd harmonics there are versus even harmonics. How edgy are the sounds? How calming are the sounds? How activating are the sounds? And how calming? Sometimes, I mean, it's normally not all going to be one way. You know, there's a combination, but from listening to the whole song, you know, what direction is it really bringing you? And as, again, different people have different thresholds for what's activating. I mean, really sensitive person, I mean, you just go, and they're like, oh, no, stop it, you know, whereas someone who's like a rock and roller, a coffee drinker, or just has a stronger constitution might go, give me those E's. Yeah, you know, it sounds great. You know, their system isn't bothered by it at all. If, also, I must point out, if someone's prone to anxiety attacks, or if someone is in an anxiety attack, this is like odd harmonics are the just absolute worst thing in the world you could do. Edgy, irritating sounds go right into their nervous system. So even harmonics are critical. They're just warm sounds is all you can do when someone is actually in anxiety, especially if they're in the midst of an anxiety attack. Warm sounds are so critical. Nothing sharp, nothing abrupt either. Okay. So I want to play a song here called Source. This is off the Nutri Energetics album. And this song is mostly activating. It's got very activating sounds. Even the cello in here is quite activating. Cello, believe it or not, tends to be more activating than, it's kind of an even balance. Violins and cellos have about an even number of odd and even harmonics. The same number of odd and even harmonics. So they are, right in the middle, cellos and violins and violas. Cellos are not that warm of a sound, really. When you really listen to them, they've got a little edge to them, but you know, they've got that warm crying part to them, and the bass part is so sweet that we love. Okay? So even you'll see the cello in here is really activating. The sounds are activating. This is Source. This is about Source activating our whole system, but it's got a lot of bass in it to really warm it up. So let's take a listen to this and really tune in to how it makes your nervous system feel. Go ahead and play Source now. There we go. It'll be coming in just a second. Now, you may be thinking that didn't seem very activating, but it's the sounds that are activating. There are so many things in that song that are also very calming. The number one thing that's very calming in there is the tempo. The tempo of that song was set to a really slow breath. So the tempo is like in, and out. In. Really slow. And that's obviously another component that will make something more activating or more calming. Slow rhythms are going to make it, or tempos are going to make it obviously more calming than fast tempos. But it's also extremely calming just because the tempo is set to a biological rhythm, our breath. And what it does is it makes it so we can easily entrain our breath into the music. Even if we don't breathe along with it, it's almost like sitting next to someone meditating. You know, it's like there's someone over there just doing a really slow breath. And even if you don't breathe with them, you're still going to be calmed by just watching that person that's breathing at a really slow breath. But the cool thing is it makes it so you can join in and breathe at a really slow rate as well. So that's very calming. There's also other aspects of this, just different things, obviously. There's another thing about the melody. If the melody is really simple, then that's more calming, of course, than a melody that's really, really busy. But also, if the notes are going down, you know, down, it's more calming than if they're going up, a real basic aspect. In this song, they kind of go up and down throughout the whole song. That song is almost like a mountain where it gets a little more intense in the middle and then it mellows out at the end. So it starts kind of mellow, it gets more intense, and then mellows out. This song also has binaural beats in it in theta, which tend to be generally quite calming and relaxing. So it's got two frequencies, two tone generators buried underneath the music that are going whoa 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 in time to the music or in pitch to the music. So it's in tune with the key of the song. And so those are very calming as well. Whereas if we were to use alpha brainwaves, binaural beats and entrain your brain into alpha, that's a little more activating. Alpha is more like na 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 na. Or if we went to gamma, it's like, you know, it's really intense. It's really activating. So that's another component that made this song even a little more calming. The other aspect, pretty major in this song, is the duration of the notes. If you have notes that are going bop, you know, staccato notes. That's more activating than. Long legato notes are much more calming. Also, they found that when you speak of love, you actually have more legato sounds that are longer, and attacks on the sounds that are more slow. So you'll have a sound that goes, I love you, as opposed to, I love you. You know, you're not going to have a sharp attack on when someone's saying, I love you. It's more like, I love. So slow attacks can be more calming as well. So, whereas, you know, if you want to dance, I mean, you often will want sharper attacks, you know, more staccato, more rhythmical, faster rhythms. You know, so that's kind of, those are pretty obvious, but we may not notice the really slow tempos, how important those are. There's another component here that's really interesting that's kind of similar to what we're talking about, and that is music that triggers a memory or triggers a category. If you play any music that makes you think, oh, that's that style of music, then generally, as soon as you think of a certain style of music, we have certain predispositions towards certain styles of music. And if we think it's a certain style of music, we immediately, you know, bring those, that filter to that style of music. You know, it's like music we like or don't like. And if we don't like it, then regardless if the music is good or not, we're going to have that filter on it. So there's a lot of sound healing music is hard to place. Like that song is like, okay, what could you say? I mean, it's kind of like, you know, sound healing, new age, maybe a little new age music, but it's not even normal new age music, you know. So it's like people have a hard time placing, especially when there's not a chord progression, when it's basically the same chord or same note through the whole thing. You know, then people have a harder time placing it and putting it in a box where they like it or don't like it. And so that's a big advantage of sound healing music. Another thing happens when you play crystal bowls. They do the same thing. Crystal bowls are the only category crystal bowls really fit into is crystal bowls. I mean, it's not like, you know, I mean, you could say sound healing music, but there's so many different types of sound healing music that it doesn't really fit in that category. So we often don't have often people don't have a negative idea unless they've gotten to not like crystal bowls, you know. I know I've come across a few people like that. It gives me a headache, you know, don't play that stuff, you know. So there are, that does happen, but for the most part, people can't put it in a category to have a negative or even positive feeling about it, which means that their mind is not activated to be judging it. And what happens then, it goes into their system and often bypasses the judgment part of our mind. That's a really important aspect, because the second we stop judging whether we like something or not and tune into the sounds, then it's like way better, because now we're just feeling the sounds and listening and just letting it go through our whole system without the filter of our brain. You know? So that's really cool when we don't activate that judgment center. Because most music, it's always activated. The first time you hear any song, it's like, not only do you like the style of music, but do I want to listen to this style of music right now? You know, so that's another component. Okay, so there's other aspects, you know, there's some reverb and sounds of echoes and stuff in that mix that make it a little more calming, even though it's mostly activating sounds. There's another aspect that's really activating in that song, and that is the fact that it's mostly, well, I shouldn't say mostly, but it is a lot of high-frequency notes. High frequencies activate, low frequencies calm. But the good news in that song is it's got a huge amount of low frequency bass. If you're listening with bass speakers to it, you felt it's a huge amount of bass to compensate for all the highs. So that gives it a nice balance between activating and calming. Bass frequencies calm. Bass frequencies relax us. There's the basis of the research by Alfred Tomatis has shown that bass frequencies calm, where high frequencies activate. So also, if you're looking to do work like productivity or moving or do anything like learning or any mental work, high frequency sounds, music that's got high frequency sounds in it is much, much better. And that's the basis of the Mozart effect, where you've got multiple, a lot of high frequencies, not only high frequencies, but sounds that are actually changing, or music that's changing, so you don't have a repetitive melodic line. So it's always doing something different, so that you your mind has to stay awake. Because the second you have something that's repetitive, that's more calming, because now your mind goes, I got it down. I don't have to pay attention anymore. Just let it go. You know, it's like, then you can go to a deeper level as well, where you're, again, you're feeling the sounds. You're feeling, you're going, you don't have to deal with the actual melodic line. So that's, that can be much more calming when you have something repetitive, or if you want activation, something that's simply changing all the time. Also, there's a system that works from Alfred Tomatis that works on the stapedius muscle in your ear, where people that have learning disabilities, or particularly autism, they found that often what's happening is there's this muscle in the inner ear that is a really active muscle. It's called the stapedius muscle, and it often it can move 100 times a second, make adjustments 100 times a second. And if it gets frozen up, it really affects our whole hearing and learning capabilities. So sounds that and music that are changing all the time help activate and really exercise that muscle. So things that are actually changing, and not to mention the fact that it kind of activates and exercises your brain, you know, creates new neurons. And when something is really busy and activating, then you have to be more present to really be there with it. You know, if you have something that's really playing a lot of notes, you really have to be present. It's kind of the same with singing. If you're doing singing or kirtan, you have to be present and right in the moment to really be able to sing everything that someone just sang to you. So busyness has that really positive aspect of it, in that it creates more presence for the most part. More presence, so that you can when you're actually really listening and catching every note, and not being overwhelmed by it. Okay. So now I want to play something that is kind of just the opposite of what we heard, and it's called Calm Mind on the second Nutra Energetic CD, which still hasn't come out, but it's also the song that I use for the Sleep CD. And this is a really calming song that has extremely slow tempos. It has warm timbres, so it's really mellow. I mean, everything about it is tending towards the calming side. So let's go ahead and listen to this and see how this makes your nervous system feel. It's interesting. I know occasionally when I listen to Sanatam Kaur, which is spelled Sanatam Kaur, occasionally I'll think it's a little boring. And, you know, that's something you have to watch out for. You might listen to something and think it's boring, but most of the time when I listen to it, it is just beautiful and perfectly right for what I want to hear, you know, even though it's so simple sometimes. I mean, her song off the Prem album, the first song, Govinda Hari, is like, you know, unbelievably simple, but it's really perfect. And actually, interesting how it actually builds in intensity by having more and more odd harmonic sounds throughout the whole song. But still, the most odd harmonic they have is still really mellow. So that's really nice. And her voice is extremely even harmonics. You know, it's not, it doesn't have an edge to it at all. There are some other things that calm and activate. Of course, you can also add different nature sounds to music. And there's calming nature sounds like crickets or oceans. But then there's really activating like sounds, nature sounds like thunder and lightning, or a raven going, a roaring waterfall. You know, it can be really activating. So there's a lot of nature sounds that can be really quite activating in a really beautiful way. There's also the actual song structure of the song. This song we just heard is really simple song structure. I mean, it's just basic chords, you know, chord progression, four chords, and then sustained note for a while. And four chords and a sustained note. I mean, it's really basic. So that can really activate or calm you. If you have complex song structure with different sections that change a lot, and it's going to be more activating. There's also, as I mentioned, simple melody lines versus busier melody lines. If you have more harmony parts, it's going to be more activating. Whereas if you have no harmonies, it's less activating. If you have more instruments, it's going to be more activating. So if you have a 100-piece orchestra, it's obviously more activating than if you have one crystal bowl, you know. And then, of course, the volume, how loud something gets or how soft it is throughout the song. If someone's screaming, going, you know, it's going to be more activating than someone whispering, doing something really soft. Even male versus female vocals can be more activating or calming. Generally, the overall timbre of male vocals tends to be more calming, but that's not the rule. And I mean, not 100% by any means. Sometimes there's female vocals, but the timbre of female vocals tends to be a little purer, which is actually more activating than a richer sound with more harmonics. Males have more harmonics than females. For a couple of reasons. Well, first of all, females are much higher in pitch, so their harmonics go off the hearing scale sooner. But then there's one other aspect here that's really interesting, and that is channeling versus performing. Some people, when you listen to the music, they're doing a performance where they're doing it to, like, basically just be cool. You know, or interesting. There's really kind of two types of music. There's music that's meant to be interesting, and then there's music that's meant to really just transform you. And when someone is doing channeling, or a good example, I got a good example of Native American chants. There's a great album by called Yeehaw Noha by Sacred Spirits, and there's just these Native American guys that they had do chants, and then they put it to techno music or really nice kind of techno trance music. And these guys doing these Native American chants, they're not doing it at all for a performance. No, they're totally just channeling spirit or doing it for service of the people around them. And often when people are just doing music in total service, or total connection to spirit, as opposed to really doing a performance, then it's a whole different calming aspect to it versus, you know, as to how good their performance is, you know. And so it's interesting, you know. We just had a concert, and I chose a lot of people that were doing channeling as opposed to doing performing, and it really makes for a whole different type of experience. So that's another thing to look for when you're either doing your music or choosing what music you're going to be listening to, whether somebody is just having it come through them or performing it. Okay. Now, the other component that's really interesting here is music that takes you from like calm to really activated, or music that does the other thing, takes you from being activated to calm. There's something called the ISO principle, which is such that whatever your energy you're at is where it's best to start, because then you can sync up to your own energy. There was a guy who did a study in a prison, or actually a jail. When people would come in, they would play really mellow music to try to mellow them out. It just pissed them off. It just really made them way more intense, and it didn't do any good at all. So they started playing heavy metal music when they would come in, and then slowly would change it to mellow music, and that would calm them down. So they were matching their energy level at the beginning. So whenever you put on music, that's a good idea to think of, is to match where you're at. Now, it's really great when the music sometimes not only just either calms you or goes from activating to calming or calming to activating, but often sometimes does a mountain type effect where it goes from very calm and then brings you into a really excited state and then goes back to being very calm. I like that because it's a whole curve, which is like a Fibonacci curve, that really takes you into the spiral into more and more intensity. But it takes you there so naturally that it's not annoying, you know, it's not abrupt. And the other way to do it is to start out really excited, bring you into a really deep state of peace, and then bring you back up into a place where you can function or drive, you know. And so that's another curve that sometimes people often use, is it's almost like the smiley face curve, where you bring them down into the depths and then bring them back up a little bit so they can function. So I want to play you one more song, which I play a lot because I love it the most, and it's Unconditional Love. And this song starts out pretty mellow, but then takes you to the peak. But it's taking you to the peak with really slow tempos and really beautiful melodies. So it gets really intense, although it's interesting because it's like taking love into power, taking love to the peak, because that's what this song is about, is unconditional love. Then it comes back down and gets as mellow as can be. And, of course, once you've been activated, your whole system is activated, you can go to a way more peaceful state than before. So check this out. This is Unconditional Love Mountain. doing music and you want to learn more, of course, we've got the classes where we go into this in detail in the sound healing music production classes. And if you want to do treatments, we go into it much more detail in the sound healing program. Or if you just want to choose music, you've now got some better idea as to what works better for you at different levels and how much activation you can handle at any type, any single moment, you know, or any particular time. It really varies quite a lot throughout the day, obviously. You know, and basically in India, they've got ragas for different times of the day. And this is really what we're talking about, what really is right for the energy level you're at that time, okay, or where you would like to take yourself at that time. So hopefully this will give you a little more insight and a little more awareness of the music and sounds you're listening to. And you'll find, as our intention was, you'll find the music that is perfect for your heart, mind, and soul at the right time. Okay. So enjoy, and we'll see you next week. You can listen to your music and find the right music into the evening, into the week, into weeks ahead, months ahead, and years ahead. And may you find the perfect music for lifetimes ahead. Take care.